It's Friday morning, the 24th of July, and the week is winding down the way these weeks tend to. Not with things settling, but with the bill arriving. I've had a strong cup of coffee and a long, quiet stretch of reading. And what I want to walk you through are four stories that, taken together, feel less like the technology moving and more like the world around it, deciding how it's going to answer for it. So settle in and let's get into them. First up, the fight over Chinese open weight models, which went from a simmer to a genuine confrontation this week. When Moonshot released its Kimi K3 model last week, it set off a debate inside the White House and across Silicon Valley over whether the United States should try to restrict Chinese open models at all. Several agencies, including the Commerce Department, are now investigating whether Moonshot appropriated American intellectual property and used restricted NVIDIA chips to train it. But the part that caught my attention isn't the investigation. It's how alone Anthropic and OpenAI have become. Among the major companies, those two are nearly the only ones openly arguing for government action against firms like Moonshot. Almost everyone else is lined up on the other side. A group of startup founders and investors went public this week, urging the administration not to cut American developers off from Chinese open weights. And their argument is a practical one. Developers build on Qwen and DeepSeek and Kimi because those weights are available, capable, and cheap, and a ban would simply hand the open source ecosystem and all the mindshare that travels with it to China without slowing Chinese progress by a single step. Underneath all of it is a gap nobody has filled. For 18 days in June, Anthropic's Fable 5 and Mythos 5 went dark worldwide, not for any technical reason, but because the Commerce Department told the company the models couldn't be provided to any foreign person without a license, and Anthropic concluded that complying meant shutting them off for everyone. Public access to Fable 5 came back on the 30th. Writers at War on the Rocks and at Lawfare made the same point from different directions this week. The country still has no trusted, standardized way to measure the security risk of a frontier model, and no agreed-upon set of proportionate responses short of simply switching it off. Until that exists, every one of these episodes gets litigated from scratch. The second story takes us into the cockpit. DARPA and the Air Force disclosed that they've flown an artificial intelligence agent in autonomous control of an F-16. And the detail that matters is that this wasn't a one-of-a-kind experimental jet. It was a standard operational fleet F-16 modified into an autonomous flying testbed under a program called Venom. The precedent here is the X-62A Vista, the purpose-built aircraft that earlier showed an AI agent could fly a fighter through a dogfight. What Venom adds is, for scaling, arguably the more important half. The team automated the flight controls and the sensors on an ordinary F-16 without touching the jet's core software. They did it with something called the Venom Autonomy Kit, which lets a human pilot flip a switch to hand control to the AI and take it back just as fast, keeping a person on the loop the whole time. The reason I'd point you at this one is that the real achievement isn't a single clever flight. It's infrastructure. What they've built is a reusable pipeline, a fleet of instrumented switch-in, switch-out airframes, plus a way to evaluate agents in live flight rather than only in simulation. The next phase, under a program called Artificial Intelligence Reinforcements, will use that fleet to test multiple competing agents against each other in the air, and then scale from a single aircraft to multi-ship formations, working toward a future where a human pilot commands and orchestrates whole teams of uncrewed aircraft. The program's own leaders were candid that the hard questions, how these agents perform and whether they can be trusted in the fog and friction of beyond visual range combat, are exactly what the next round of flying is meant to answer. But the shift is real. Combat autonomy is moving out of simulation and onto aircraft that already exist at the speed of software, rather than the speed of building a whole new plane. Third, let's talk about money, because Wall Street sent a very pointed message this week. Shares of Alphabet fell about 7% on Thursday after the company disclosed another increase in its capital spending for the year. The money going into AI chips, servers, and data centers, and that drop was enough to erase most of the stock's gains for the entire year. Tesla, which had reported its own sharp jump in spending a day earlier, fell about 15%. There was a broad market sell-off in the mix, but Alphabet and Tesla were among the hardest hit, and the reaction crystallized something that's been building for a while. Investors are increasingly uneasy, watching the biggest companies raise, again and again, the amount they intend to pour into AI infrastructure, without explaining clearly what the return on it will be. Running right alongside the stock move was a sharper, more technical argument about how all of this is being financed. One widely shared piece argued that AI companies are moving a staggering amount of debt off their balance sheets, using special purpose vehicles and leases to fund data centers, so that the headline numbers understate how much borrowing is really behind the build-out. A rebuttal fired straight back that big tech is not hiding some $1.65 trillion of debt, and that most of what critics point to is ordinary disclosed lease and financing activity. Reuters framed the same set of facts as a cash burn story, free cash flow being eaten alive by the pace of construction, even as revenue grows, and in a small detail that says a lot, Alphabet disclosed it's sitting on about $94.1 billion worth of SpaceX shares, a reminder that some of the strength cushioning these enormous bets is itself paper wealth tied to a single private company. The reason this matters beyond the tickers is simple. The financing of compute has quietly become a first-order variable. For 2 years, the industry treated capital as effectively unlimited. A 7% drop on a spending disclosure is the market beginning to test that assumption. And if the cost of funding the build-out rises, that pressure runs straight downstream into how aggressively the labs can train and how cheaply any of us can buy inference. And for our fourth and final story this morning, a reminder that while all of that plays out, the technology itself hasn't paused for a second. Black Forest Labs shipped Flux 3, and unlike the image-only launches that made the lab a fixture of the generative media world, this generation is multimodal. It extends their flow-matching family into video, and it arrives with a robotics-oriented model alongside it. The headline claim is that Flux 3's video models outperform the current crop. They name Seedance 2, a Gemini Omni image and video model, and Grok Imagine as the systems they beat. 2 years ago, when the lab launched Flux 1 with a forest logo and a homepage that quietly hinted video was coming next, this was the promise. Now it's real. Three things make it worth your attention. The move to a single flow model formulation spanning both image and video puts an independent European lab right at the frontier of controllable, high-fidelity video generation, the segment where the fiercest competition among labs now sits. The bundled robotics model, which they're calling Flux Mimic, points that very same generative video machinery at embodied control. A model that predicts future frames conditioned on actions is, functionally, a world model you can steer a robot with. And the competitive framing is unusually blunt for this kind of release. If those wins hold up outside the launch materials, it places a relatively open, developer-friendly lab at or near the top of a field otherwise dominated by the largest American and Chinese players. The honest caveats are the ones the community raised within the hour: how the model is licensed and weighted, what the video tier actually costs to run, and whether the comparisons survive on independent prompts rather than hand-picked demos. It landed on the same busy Thursday that OpenAI refreshed ChatGPT's voice and Anthropic updated Claude's. But for anyone tracking generative media specifically, Flux 3 was the drop that mattered. So what was this morning really about? Three of these four stories are the same motion seen from different angles. Someone outside the labs presenting a bill and asking artificial intelligence to pay it. Washington wants a way to decide which models are safe to let out the door. The Pentagon wants autonomy it can actually trust with a fighter jet. Wall Street wants to see the return on $1 trillion of concrete and silicon. And the fourth story is Black Forest Labs, answering none of those questions and just shipping a better model anyway. which may be the most honest picture of where we are. The full digest has the rest, and it's a deep one today. A run of world model and video work, a stack of defense contracts, and a genuinely interesting result on training trillion parameter models on Chinese silicon. That's all from me this morning. I'll be back tomorrow. Until then, be well and keep your eyes open.